Hey, everybody, welcome back to Church Online. I'm so glad you could make it. Happy Sunday morning to you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I think God's got something great in store for you. And I want to just say thank you for those of you that have chosen to not just tune in, but support us financially. That's a big deal to us. God has helped us and blessed us. We got broken into this last week three times, man. Three times. We finally caught the guy on camera, and it's my dad. I'm just kidding. Shout out to my dad and mom that are watching this. To my in-laws, we love you guys. For those of you that are shut down in quarantine, hey, we love you. We're praying for you. We're believing that God has a word for you, and we think it's going to be a good word. We want to say thank you for supporting us with your generosity, with your tithes, and with your offerings. That means so much to us, so thank you for that. If you like what you hear today, would you click that share button? That means a lot. And we always like the likes, and we love the comments when you share with us where you're tuning in from, but the share button means a whole lot to us, so I just want to thank you for that. And grab your Bibles, if you would. Judges chapter 6 is where we're going to go. We're going to continue on with our series called Greater Than. It's all about recognizing the greatness of God and how foolishly we tend to settle for things that are so much less than God's best for us. I do it, you do it, and the point of this whole series is not to condemn you and make you feel like you're less than because you've made mistakes, but we want to expose the lies of the enemy and show you how much greater God is than the foolish things that we settle for. And this comes from Psalm 135, verse 5, our theme verse. We've quoted this every single week because it's so important that you get this into your mind. King David says, I know that the Lord is great and that he's greater than all gods. He's greater than anything else that we get our identity, our joy, our security, and our self-worth from. God is greater than those things. We spend our whole lives trying to get security and identity and trying to figure out who we are and what brings us joy and all the things that make us feel a certain way. And I think it's so disrespectful to not recognize that God is the only true source of our identity and joy, our security, and ultimately our self-worth. God tells you who you are. And that's a big deal to God. So in Judges chapter 6, I believe God's got something powerful as we tune into his word. We're going to talk about letting go of what I think I can handle, what I think I can control. And man, 2020 has been a year of us fighting for control, some sense of control in our lives, especially during the chaos that is this year. I believe that God can use chaos to lead us back to amazing things, lead us back to what is real, lead us back to true north, lead us back to precious things that we've lost. But unfortunately, it takes holding on to God during the chaos and not to that sense of control that I think that we want. I tell the story that happened to me when I was a teenager. We got invited to a fair, like a state fair, but one of those fairs that's kind of run by the hobo guys, like the crystal meth addicts and, you know, this stuff. They set it up and then, you know, 15 people get hurt and they shut it down and move on and change their names. And it's one of those kind of fairs. And I should have known better, but I ended up getting on one of those rides that spin around, and you kind of get stuck to the walls. And this was in the middle of July. It's a July 4th kind of fair thing. And for some reason, we're on this ride, and I was there with a buddy of mine, and I should have known better, but we get on this thing, and I'm not into carnival rides. That's not my thing. Some people love it. They love being out of control. I'm not that guy. I am what you call a control freak. I like to have things in a managed, at a managed pace and things that I know what to expect. I don't like surprises. But this thing starts spinning, and then they couldn't shut it off. It got stuck. And so people are screaming. And in that moment, I'm thinking, okay, you know, where are you, God? Because this is nuts. They could not shut the ride off. So you're supposed to spin for about 30 or 40 seconds. We start spinning for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. It seems like 5 hours. They cannot shut this thing off. And it gets bad. All the happiness turns into chaos and screaming, and you can imagine what starts coming out of people's bodies when you've been spinning around for that long. It got nuts. And so they finally turn off the power to the ride. Everything goes dark, but it doesn't stop. It just has a spin until it finally slows down. And people are dropping onto the floor. I mean, and yeah, it was bad. It was gross. I had to crawl, like belly crawl, out of this ride, trying so desperately to get out of not just the heat, but the smell, the stench. And we're having to wait in line because everybody's trying to rush the door at the same time because we got stuck on this stupid ride, man. And in those moments where you're spinning around and things are out of control, all you want to do is just find something to just hang on to and just, right. Like, there's nothing you can do. Yeah. Find something you can just hang on to and have some sort of sense of, okay, just, you know, hold on, just it's got to end at some point, which has felt like this entire year, right? Yeah. It's felt like this entire year, you just got to hang on and just you catch the vomit, because here we go. And especially during election season, what we're seeing in our country right now, it's just, it's vomit everywhere. And there, it, and I think we're so desperate for some sense of control in the midst of chaos. We fly into that, you know, that kind of fetal position, just hang on, and go into control mode. What we think that we can handle, what we can control. And sometimes that becomes an idol because we start looking for things to control instead of going back to the one that really does control everything. Our security is found in that small piece of fake control that we think that we have. But I believe God can use that chaos to change the world. And he does that when he asks us to let go of what control we think we have and actually trust him to use us during the chaos. Yes. And so this is what is happening in Judges chapter 6. God's people, as we've talked about every week, have messed up again by going right back to idolatry, looking to idols, looking for things that they could put their hope and their faith and their trust, their worship in. And God has gotten upset, and God's allowed them to be overtaken and bullied again by the Midianites. And this is what I want to just show you in Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 6. The word judges, by the way, don't let that fool you. It's not like what we would think of a judge that passes laws. A judge in the Hebrew language means deliverer or a warrior. God will raise up a judge that would lead his people out of idolatry, give them victory. And of course, as soon as the victory was won, they'd go right back into idolatry again. And so God breathes upon a young man named Gideon. And the precursor to Gideon's story starts here in verse 6. It says, it talks about the Midians that had invaded and they just devoured everything, bullied God's people. God's people were stuck in caves. They were in hiding. They couldn't feed their family. They couldn't feed their flocks. Every time that they would try to farm a little bit, the Midianites would come and just destroy everything or just take it. And they're living life being bullied and trying to just create some sense of normalcy in the midst of chaos. And here it is in verse 6. It says, Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. And I just want to let you know, I feel like that's a powerful word for somebody that's going through a low spot. Have you tried Jesus? Have you cried out for help from the Lord? Yeah. Lots of times we'll tell people, hey, just cry out for help, ask for help. But you're going to people, and we may use our resources, and maybe God can use those. But I want you to encourage you, try the Lord, try Jesus. It says they cried out for help from the Lord. And when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent the prophet. The Lord sent a word. And the prophet came to the people of Israel and said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt. I brought you out of the house of slavery. Or remember where you came from. Remember what I did for you. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all that oppressed you. And I drove them out before you. I gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites or worship these other gods. Don't worship idols. God says that's the reason why this is happening. And I want you to know that this is not just punishment without a cause, but you're walking through chaos because you created it. Yeah. Mm. And it says this, I told you not to fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. You wouldn't listen. Mm. And this is where I think we find a lot of well-meaning Christians, sons and daughters of God, even today. God is saying, I want you to turn away from those things. You're living as if you're going to bow down to the idols of culture. You're doing what everybody else has done. But God is saying, I want you to come out and be separate. You're supposed to have a love affair with me. I'm supposed to be the one that gives you that sense of ownership and security and joy. I want you to find that in me. But they wouldn't. They said, you didn't listen. And so God says, you've worshiped the gods of the Amorites. The gods of the Amorites is a god named Amudu. Hoodoo? Voodoo? What? Amudu. Amudu was the god of the mountain, which symbolizes stability, you know, something that's strong, something that is immovable, the god of the mountain, Amudu. And Amudu is also the god of thunder. So you can imagine the thunder brings chaos, the thunder brings, you know, big noise, but the mountain brings stability. And this is exactly what God is saying. I told you not to worship anything else that you think you're going to get stability from during chaos. I am the God that brings you stability in the midst of chaos. I'm the God that settles things, but you decided that you wanted your stability from something else, and you worshiped and bowed down. You made stability and control your idol. Yeah. And that's the reason why you've had so much chaos. You know, chaos should remind us of where we've come from and should also remind us who we belong to. Yeah. But just like the people of Israel, lots of times chaos just makes us want to control things. Yeah. We go into fight or flight mode and what I can control. Look at this in Jonah chapter 2. It says, those who cling to worthless idols, and by the way, control can be a worthless idol. Yeah. Those who cling to those things, they end up really turning away from God's love for them. This is what the children of Israel had done. They turned away from God's love and found something that was worthless. You see, nothing else is going to be more stable than our God. Nothing else brings peace during chaos than our God. And you've turned away from his amazing love and you worship something that is just worthless. You know, the idol of control runs in direct contradiction to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I want to talk about, the difference between control and being led by the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
So I was thinking, you know, how do I, as a man, what are the times in my life where I feel like I've got the most control? Because I struggle with this. This is a big deal to me. This is one of the things the Lord has had to pull out of my heart. I pastor a large church that's thriving and that's growing. And if you want to have control, you better not be in ministry, because this isn't my church. This is the Lord's church, and he's going to do what he wants. And unfortunately, I don't get much of a say in that. And the more that I try to take control of it, the more the Lord says, okay, is it yours or mine?
Right.
What do you want? And so the things in my life where I felt like gave me some sort of sense of control is, and this may be true for other men. I think I can speak on behalf of all of us. But when I have a haircut, a fresh haircut makes me feel like my life makes sense. And when I look out on my lawn and my lawn is perfectly manicured, when it's done, if there's no weeds in the flower beds, if the flower beds look good and it's edged and it's mowed, just like my haircut, I have a sense of accomplishment and pride. I feel like my life has some sort of meaning. I got something done, you know, no matter if that's really the truth or not. And like little kids, if you ever meet a little kid and they want to show you their new shoes, give them a sense of like, hey, life is good. And you have to ask the little kids the same question when they tell you, I got new shoes. The question is always, can you run fast? Can you run fast in those shoes? Can you? And they have to show you, because then their life makes sense. Oh, you got to see how fast I can run. And they just want to show you how fast these new shoes make them run. They have a sense of control. I don't know what it's like for women, but in my imagination, you know, if you have your oversized sweater and you've got your hair in a messy bun and you got your pumpkin spice latte and you got your nails dipped, you know, life has a sense of control. I don't know. I'm imagining what things would make a woman feel like their life makes sense, like they have some sort of control. And you can have your life in complete chaos. You're like, my kids are failing school. I got no money in the bank account, but I got my pumpkin spice latte. You know, I got a good candle in my house from Bed Bath & Beyond. You know, I've got these things that make me feel like I have control, but do you really? I think that there are a lot of things that we pretend give us a sense of control, but they're not God. Yeah. They're not God. Mm-hmm. In the midst of 2020, we look for some sense of control, like we have our life put together, some sense of normalcy. And I think that's part of the human condition, but the problem is we're looking in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And we end up building an idol to what I think I can handle, the idol of Wittich, W-I-T-I-C-H, Wittich, Wittich. And so we had some fun with that word. It sounds like a lot of other words, and some of those are not very good, but we were making fun of that word today as we were sitting around in staff, but building an idol to Wittich, what I think that I can handle. This is essentially where I become God, where I want control, I want things done my way, and I end up ignoring what the Lord may be leading me to do, especially during chaotic times. These are the times where God wants to use his people to do great things, like Gideon. But like Gideon, we tend to think like, yeah, you know, but that means things are out of control. So what happens is the children of Israel get a word from the Lord. And as we move on through Judges 6, I don't have time to read the entire story, but the next two chapters show us something powerful. The angel of the Lord, which we know later on becomes Jesus. Jesus meets with Gideon. Jesus sits down underneath a tree and finds Gideon. And what he's doing in that moment is Gideon is threshing wheat inside of a wine press. So he's hiding. He's trying to eke out a living. And by the way, if you're a person that likes to go a little bit deeper into the theology and the types and shadows in the Old Testament, a wheat always represents provision. I'm just trying to provide for my family. I'm trying to make something to eat. But he's doing it in a wine press, which is a place used for blessing. Wine means blessing. I was looking at the scripture in Isaiah 65 that says, new wine is found in the cluster. Don't destroy it, for a blessing is in there. And God speaks about wine being a blessing. And you're thinking, yeah, it's been a real blessing in 2020. But he's trying to provide for his family with wheat in a place that should have been a place of blessing. And I think in the midst of chaos, God wants to bring you into a place of blessing while we're just looking for a sense of normalcy to just control and just to provide. See, God doesn't see things the way that we see them. He's looking to bless when we're looking to just eke out a living and not stir up any waves. I hope I'm talking to somebody today, because this word was hitting me really strongly. In 2020, I think lots of people have curled up into the fetal position and just said, I'm just going to hold on until life gets back to normal. Mm-hmm. And it's in these moments, I think God is looking for people that don't just see the chaos, but they see opportunity. Yeah. Yes. Like there's something special happening here. When the whole world gets shut down, what could God be showing us that no one else sees? Because they're so busy trying to control things that they don't see that there are wide open doors of opportunity. And we're, by the way, you're watching me today because we said, let's film this differently. Let's get to people while we're in the middle of a shutdown. Let's film and let's find a way to bring a Bible study feel into people's homes. And this is what we're doing. We sense an opportunity here and we found that there's a lot of people that like this. They've enjoyed it. Yep. Because in the midst of chaos, if you look to the Lord, you can find opportunities that you would never ever see because you're too busy and you're trying to have control. And so here is Gideon threshing out wheat inside of a wine press. And I see that he's just content to provide. He's just content to eke out a living. He's just content to have some sort of sense of normalcy and control like many of us because there's chaos going out there. He's in hiding. Yeah. You know, I think many of us are content to just exist, but in times of chaos, God made us to explode.
Right. That's good.
There's a big difference between just existing and exploding. This is who God has called us to be. We're more content with holding on to some sense of normalcy and what I think I can handle. I've built an idol to what I think I can handle, not what God thinks I can handle.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. So the angel looks at Gideon and calls him a mighty man of valor. And Gideon begins to have an argument with Jesus, who we know it to be Jesus. He says, you know, I'm not a mighty man of valor. I'm the least of my brothers. I'm in the smallest clan. You got the wrong number, Jesus. Go talk to somebody else that's big and strong. I'm nobody. Yeah. And God calls him as who he's going to be.
Yes.
And not just who he thinks that he is.
Yeah.
And God speaks right to the point of his need. But you know, Gideon takes a while to convince him because Gideon's like, okay, if you're saying that I'm this certain someone that's supposed to lead God's people, if I'm the next judge, but where's the God of the Old Testament? If you really are a powerful God, then why are we like this? You know, it's easy for us to blame God when things go wrong. Where are you, God? Yeah. And don't use me, use somebody else because I'm not feeling that right now. I'm just trying to make a living, man. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get by. And if you're looking for somebody, just pick somebody else. But God begins to speak to him and began to give him signs and signs and signs and signs. Like, no, it's you. It is you. Mm-hmm. I want to use you. In the midst of chaos, God asked him to let go of control of who he thinks that he is. And I was thinking, you know, how easy it is for us to build an idol to Wittich. And there's some things that I think are telltale signs in each of our lives. I want to give you, let me give you three or four of these that I think will help you recognize this idol that we bow down to in times of chaos that I see so prevalently in 2020. And the first clue that we're building an idol to Wittich is simply this: when I want a God that I get to manage. When I want God to do certain things, you know, I want the God that heals. I want the God that provides. I want the God that helps. I want the God that delivers, but I don't want the God that asks me to step out in faith.
Come on.
I don't want the God that asks me to lead. God forbid that I have to actually share my testimony or I'm the one that's supposed to do something. No, I don't want that. I want the God that I get to manage. You know, I want a God and I want to serve. I wrote it down this way. I want to serve a God that asks nothing of me. And this is where I find myself. You know, God, just be there when I need you, but I've got some sense of control here and everything else. You worry about the world, God, and I'll handle my own. And it's an idol. You know, the question is, when you have that attitude, who really is God? Who's the one making the orders here?
Yeah.
Yeah. A.W. Tozer had a great quote, and he said this, grace will save a man, but not a man and his idol.
Wow.
You can't have both. He wants to save you. Not your view of who God is. You have to come to God on his terms.
That's right.
And
that's good.
I was drawn to this in Matthew 20:26, even Jesus himself, we see this, and I love the honesty, the transparency that Christ has when he's talking to his Father. And Matthew captures Jesus' conversation and as he's about to go to the cross. It says, Jesus went a little farther and he bowed down with his face to the ground. And he says, my Father, exclamation point. He's screaming out to God, my Father. He says, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Then he says, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. What a great example of what to do when life sucks, when chaos reigns, when things don't go the way that we think that they should go, even Jesus himself says, Lord, I'm giving you control. I trust you. But man, I don't like it. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Jesus understands that you don't get a God that you can manage. That's not him. God's not looking to be your co-pilot. Here's the second thing I think will help us and encourage us and show us a little bit about building an idol to Wittich. And that's this: when I know that God uses people to do great things, just not me. Not me. And we see this, by the way, in multiple people throughout the Bible. Yeah. Moses had a conversation with God. God, you got the wrong guy. Send my brother. he's much better speaker than me. You know, he's available. He's only working part-time, you know, and he's got a much better beard. He's got a better face for television than I do. Elijah had this problem. God, I'm done. I'm done. He says, I just do somebody else. Jonah said, no, thanks. I believe that you're an amazing God. You do wonderful things, but not me. Not me. I think many of us have that same issue. Lord, I believe in you. Just use somebody else. I'd rather have control of my life. I don't want a God that I have to trust in. I just want a God that does what I ask him to do. That's a false God, my friend. That's your own version of God. Often, what makes us the most afraid exposes what we haven't really given to God. And I found this to be an important part of my life, especially in 2020, because things that I fear the most, it just shows me the parts of my life that I haven't given to him, that I don't trust him, not as well as I should. And you probably have those as well. We have moments where just 2020 has exposed some real anxiety, some real fears. Anxiety has just run rampant. But it can tell us a story. It can tell us the parts of our heart that don't really belong to God. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Right. You know, I know that God uses people to do great things, just not me. Here's the third one. When it has to make sense before I'll move. Oh. And this is where Gideon is. Oh, Lord, make this make sense before I actually do anything. I'm not saying I won't, but you got to prove yourself to me. And you got to explain it to me like I'm a three-year-old. And this is what happens to Gideon. Gideon talks with the Lord face to face as if that should be enough. I mean, not a lot of people in history get to talk to the Lord face to face. He says, all right, if you really are from God, then I'm going to bring you a meal and don't leave. And so he brings him a meal and Jesus reaches down and fire comes up from a rock and just consumes the entire meal. And Gideon's like, okay. I'm going to need a word from you. Wow. You ever been there? Like, okay, it's very clear what God is asking you to do. And you're like, let me study on that. I'm gonna need some more proof. I'm gonna need just a little bit more, Jesus. And what he does, he decides to put out a fleece before the Lord. He takes a piece of lamb skin and he says, Lord, I'm gonna set this outside of my house. And on one night, I want the ground to be dry, but I want the fleece to be completely wet. Then I'll know that it's you. And God's still so patient. God's so patient. God's like, I'm choosing you in the midst of chaos, but you gotta let go of control. You can't have God on your terms. Come on, I'm using you. And Gideon says, well, you know, hey, one more night, just one more night. And this time though, I want the fleece to be completely dry, but the ground to be wet. You know, it's like, dude, just install some security cameras on that fleece and figure out, you know, how's it getting wet and the ground's getting, but he has to have clarity. Mm-hmm. Clarity, man, we always want clarity, don't we? We don't want to step out in faith. That faith is that's for the pastors. That's not for me, right? Yeah. That's for spiritual people. That's for the people that are really stepping out there and living on the edge, but I'd rather have control. I don't want faith. I don't want you to ask me to do something that makes me a little timid, makes me step out and do things that are against my personality. I'd rather have control. I want what I think I can handle. You know, God never promises that we're gonna understand. Yeah. You don't see that anywhere in the Bible. As a matter of fact, he says, this side of heaven, a lot of things are going to make sense. Even Apostle Paul says, hey, right now we kind of see through a glass dimly. It's like a stained glass and I can't quite make out things. Like that's pretty much par for the course. You don't get a chance to understand. God doesn't have to explain himself. He's confirming and confirming and confirming himself to Gideon. But Gideon's like, I'm still not convinced. Because I'm nobody. He can't get out of his own space enough to hear that God is really choosing him. Look at this in Isaiah 55. It says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways, they're higher than your ways. God says, you're not going to understand. Your natural mind is not going to understand. And I want you to notice this, that, you know, that that sense of control, that desire for control, runs in contradiction to being led by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it says this in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. It's not going to make sense. You're not going to have clarity. You're not going to know with 100% certainty like Gideon did that everything's going to work out. You just won't. You have to trust. It says, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Until you are being led by the Holy Spirit, your life is not going to make sense. The things that God's asking his people to do, it won't make sense to you because it is completely opposite of what man says is smart. Man says when the world is in chaos, you go into a fetal position, you hold on tight, and you just wait it out. And God says, now, if you're spiritually discerning, I'm going to show you something completely different. It won't make sense to anybody else. Well, they're all sitting at home. He's sending you out. He said, no, the fields are ripe unto harvest. Spiritually discerned. You know, and this is where I think a lot of churches just miss it because they tell us that we can know God and have an intimate relationship with him, but they never tell us that it comes from a daily yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Yeah. This is the great how. And I wish more churches would not be afraid to even say the word Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, our great comforter. But I think the biggest issue that churches have with even talking about the Holy Spirit is that they're afraid they're going to lose control.
Yeah.
Control. It's an idol in the church, mm-hmm. which is where we find ourselves today, always looking for control, not being led by the Spirit. You know, here's number four, and I'll close it out with this. The idol of Wittich is only replaced by the daily leading of the Holy Spirit. I can't say it any more plain than that. It takes being led by the Spirit to really give up control.
Yeah, that's it. So good.
This has been my hardest battle as a pastor. As churches continue to grow, as you're having to move out of the things that you can control, and I have to actually trust people on my staff to handle things that normally I would do. I learned about 2 years ago, we started having the conversation around the office. People would come to my office and ask me questions. And when we were a small church, hey, come all the time. I'll answer whatever and let's have a great conversation. But as time began to pass and the things began to grow, I can't answer every question. I don't have time. It doesn't make sense for me to do that. But one of the things that we started doing was I would answer their question with this question. Is this something that only I can answer? Because if only I can answer it, I will answer it. But if anybody else can answer this question, then go to them first. That was hard. It's an adjustment for us, because I had to actually let go because I can answer it, but should I?
Right.
I've had to learn how to let go.
Yeah.
I had to learn how to let go of control. It's hard watching my kids drive and not be there, you know, to press on the imaginary brake, you know, so when you're sitting next to them and actually release them into the world. Like, you're like, oh man, we've got full insurance, but I don't know.
Uh-huh.
It's hard. It's hard to watch them move out of the house and become an empty nester. It's every season of life, there's a chance for us to hold on tight to what we think we have to have and what we can handle, or to trust that God can do a better job raising my children than even I can. God can do a much better job of leading my church than I can. I struggle in this area. It's a big deal. But either he's God and he's worth my trust, or he's not.
Yeah.
Are you trusting in the God of the mountain and when the thunder comes, I'm trusting him? Or are you trusting in the God that created the mountains? And the word of the Lord comes and judges and says, look, I told you not to follow after those gods, but you wouldn't listen. And I don't want to be one of those people that refuses to let go of control, to worship a God that I choose. I don't want to worship some false view of God. I want to worship the God that does what he wants and chooses to include me and promises me that I'll understand it at some point, but not today. I want to serve a God that takes me into the great unknown and asks me to step out on faith and trust me to do it. That's not easy. But this is, you know, when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, this is where you go from the driver's seat to being carried.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not easy, especially for a man to be carried. Like, hey, I'm a big guy, but like, don't care. But it's part of the process of learning how to trust that the Lord has got you.
Yes. Yes.
You don't have to have control.
Right.
Look at 2 Peter. It says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
God sent his word and carried them. He directed them. Look at this in Romans 8. It says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. That's how you know the difference between someone that's the real deal and someone that's bowing down to some other version of God. Are they led by his Spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit, please hear me. The Holy Spirit is not going to fight you for control of your day.
That's right.
There's a yielding. There's a submission where we invite him in and say, take over, show me.
Right.
Isaiah 30 says, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Like the Mandalorian, right? This is the way. This is the way. But the Lord wants to direct your steps. He really does. Especially during the midst of chaos. Ultimate control is letting go of control and giving it to the one who has ultimate control. It ain't you. You can't manage and handle your life. You're never meant to. Acts 2 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. All people. This is a beautiful part of the scripture that I think we ignore because we think that the Holy Spirit is reserved for people that are super spiritual. And it's simply not the case. God's spirit is poured out for the asking. And it says your sons and your daughters, they'll prophesy. It's not just for us and not for just grandpa. It's for your children. It says they're going to prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And I love that God's saying, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. I'm going to pour out my spirit and it's going to change everything. I want to impart. I want to lead you. You know, the last days, when he talked about the last days, those days began at Pentecost. We're in the last days, my friend. Make no mistake. We are absolutely in the last days, and the Spirit of God is still available, still calling out for each of us for control, asking us, will you yield to me? Will you trust that I can do a better job with this than you can? My friend, our world is in chaos. So in those moments, do you buckle down and build an idol to what you think you can handle? Or do you allow the Lord to truly be God? In Judges 6:34, I'll leave you with this. Right before Gideon takes his army, and by the way, God takes him from thousands upon thousands upon thousands down to just 300 men. God makes it more and more impossible. Because God says, if I gave you a victory, even though you're still outnumbered, if I gave you a victory with thousands of people, you'd think it was you. I want to prove to you that I'm the one in control here. And in verse 34, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon.
Yes.
You know what happened between the time where the Spirit of the Lord came on him and he was fighting with God for control? He burned his idols. He let go. And I wonder how many of us have some things we need to let go of. And it's keeping the Spirit of the Lord from truly living and leading us. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. And by the way, God didn't lead him to some military victory with his sword. God says, I'm not looking for a bunch of people that can fight. I'm looking for a bunch of people that are going to make some noise and shed some light. And that's what they did. They screamed, they hollered, they blew trumpets, and they held up a torch. And God brought the victory.
Yeah.
So you talk about chaos. God says, I'm going to bring some chaos. I'm going to do it with just 300 people that are faithful to me, that have burned their idols, and that are full of my spirit. We're going to make some noise. That's what I feel like God is speaking to us as a church. And I want to invite you to get in on that, to make some noise during chaos and to show who really is in control. I think it's time to let go of control and let the Holy Spirit lead us from just existing to exploding. That's my heart for you. That's the word I have for you today. Are you just existing and hanging on, waiting for 2020 to end? Because my friend, this is not ending anytime soon. Let that go. And you don't really have control. No matter what you're doing, you got your messy bun, you got your pumpkin spice latte, that's not control. Give him control. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead your day. Take the idol of what you think you can handle off of the throne of your heart and replace it with the Holy Spirit who is greater than any other thing that can possibly lead your life. It's better. It's better his way. This is the way. Walk in it, he says. That's all I have from the Lord to give you today, but I want to just talk to those who have never, ever before trusted God in their heart. They've never asked Christ to forgive you of your sin. And my friend, if you've never done that, I want to help you do that right now. Right where you are, I want to invite you to pray with me. And I want to lead you in a prayer that somebody led me in one time that changed my life. The prayer goes like this. Pray with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died for me, but you rose again so that I could have life too and forgiveness for all of my sins. Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give myself to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, I am so proud of you. You haven't quit. You're still tuning in. You're still hungering for the things of the Lord. And I think God is doing amazing things. I want to encourage you. Don't quit. You're so close. We're so close. God's still doing things. The world may be crazy, but God's still on the throne. So I love you. I'm praying for you. If by the way, if you prayed with me, do me a favor. Would you text me? Text the words "I pray" to 94090. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your story and see what the Lord's doing in your life. I'd love to encourage you to take the next step too, which is being obedient, getting into a baptism tank. Let us help you do that. Let us know. Reach out to us. We'd love to just send you some things that would help you. We're not going to sell your information or anything like that, but just let us help you. It'd be our great privilege to do that. For everybody else, have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you. I'll see you soon.